The Catalyst Church online campus. Welcome to our weekly study we call Wisdom's Walk. If you're joining us for the first time, I would love to personally welcome you. We do have a connection team here at Catalyst Church, and they would love to help you connect with our community. So if you wouldn't mind, take a moment. Let us know that you're here today so that they can reach out to you and help you become a part of the Catalyst Church family. And if you're joining us online or on YouTube, please take a moment and click the subscribe button so you can easily join us each week as we upload new studies here on Wisdom's Walk. Let's take a moment too. I want to thank you for your continued generous and faithful giving to the ministries of Catalyst Church. We have many who follow God's stewardship principles of giving, and you can do so securely on our online giving platform. Can I take a moment and ask the Lord's blessings upon today's tithes and offerings? Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Lord, thank you for your provision. As we honor you today with the tithes and the offerings, Lord, you know exactly what we will ask. We will ask that they be leveraged forward into stories of transformation, that the grace and the mercy and the love, the power of Jesus, altering eternities, that's what we're a part of. And it is a privilege and an honor that you've invited us to be part of it. So as we worship you with the tithes and the offerings in this way, Lord, we simply ask that you would be honored. And Holy Spirit, I ask for your hand of blessing to be upon the givers today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I think I mentioned before, my wife and I have four adult children, and each of them arrived differently than the others. We had the full collection of birth experiences. We had one emergency C-section, we had one planned C-section, we had one natural birth, but after 40 hours of active labor. And finally, we had one natural birth, which was more normal, just 12 hours of labor. And yes, I said we in all of those instances. It was a team effort. I contributed. I mean, seriously, each time I had to sleep on a very uncomfortable hospital rollaway bed. I should probably stop now before I end up in the hospital. Well, today happens to be Mother's Day, and before we go any further, I will not be sharing a message encouraging us to honor our mothers or highlighting why they are worthy of honor. Why not? Truthfully, because seriously, you have to be reminded to honor your mother or told why it's important. Grow up. Instead, on this Mother's Day, we are purposely launching a brand new series called Follow Her Lead. And in this series, we'll be examining several of the women in the Bible and their stories. Stories which do far more than just serve as inspiration. These are women who led and influenced and changed things. And only two of them were in positions of actual authority, but all of them used their character to influence their world. I know in the age of social media and faux book and Insta-lies, you're not supposed to admit to any weaknesses or shortcomings or doubts. Everything is always wonderful all the time, right? But any ladies here willing to admit childbirth was difficult? Let me ask you this. Compared to child rearing and raising, would you say childbirth was actually the easy part? As unbelievable as it may sound, the role of mother is currently being debated in our society, in our culture. Mother has been replaced by birthing parent on many government forms and institutions. I was born in a maternity ward at Northwest Hospital in Seattle. My two oldest children were also born in the very same building, but by then it was a birthing center. In fact, if you want ultimate proof that motherhood is under attack, Apple's most recent iOS update includes the pregnant man emoji. Let's just stop and let that one sink in for a minute. Perhaps now more than ever, we as a society need to reclaim the righteous role of motherhood and recognize the utter, fundamentally influential role mothers have. I don't want to go too far down this particular path today, but I also believe mothering is a larger role than just those who have children. There are women who have a mothering influence over everyone in their lives, whether they gave birth to them or not. There are business-owning women who view their employees somewhat as a mother would her own children. There are aunts and sisters and neighbors and teachers who are actively involved in the raising of the children in their lives, whether they belong to them or not. motherhood transcends just mothers. And with today being Mother's Day, I thought we'd launch our Follow Her Lead series with a look at one of Scripture's clearly most influential but virtually forgotten mothers. A woman who had everything going against her as she sought to raise her son right. The culture of the day was ungodly, and even her husband represented the exact opposite of everything she wanted for her son. She fought an uphill battle the whole way to influence her son in a godly manner, and it worked. Of course, he didn't turn out perfect. He had his flaws and mistakes too, but on the whole, she had much to be proud of. In fact, he turned out so good as a person, such a bright, shining example of one who turns to and follows the Lord God, that I'd hazard to guess very few of you can even remember her name or that she existed in Scripture at all. Now, to be fair, she only appears once in Scripture, and it's such a passing mention, and her memory is so eclipsed by two men in her life. No wonder few recall her name. Her name was Jedidah, which in Hebrew means beloved. And I mentioned she was eclipsed by the two men in her life. One was her famous son, the other her equally infamous husband. Her son was none other than Josiah, Judah's greatest king. The boy who took the throne at 8 years old and at 26 years old led the nation of Judah into a spiritual revival and renewal. Let's find Josiah in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22, right at the beginning there. It says here, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah from Bozkath. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. Briefly, Josiah abolished idolatry from the kingdom of Judah. He saw to the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, listen to what Scripture says about him just another chapter over in 2 Kings, chapter 23. Let's look at verse 25. I love this. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses. And there has never been a king like him since. I feel pretty confident saying any mother would feel justifiably proud if that's how their child is spoken of and remembered. But as awesome as Josiah turned out to be, there was an opposite influence in his life. His father, King Amon of Judah, Jedidah's husband. Amon was a horrible, wicked, vile, corrupt king. We can find some of his story in the book of 2 Chronicles, a couple books over. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 21. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his father Manasseh had done. He worshipped and sacrificed to all the idols his father had made. But unlike his father, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Instead, Amon sinned even more. Then Amon's own officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. But the people of the land killed all those who had conspired against King Amon, and they made his son Josiah the next king. I know, we may react to this thinking, well, you know what, good riddance to Amon. He deserved to be assassinated. Maybe, I don't know. But really stop and think. This is the environment and the culture and the atmosphere which Josiah is born into and he's raised in. And it's a family tradition, too. Amon's father was King Manasseh, who has the unique distinguishment of being remembered as Judah's absolutely most wicked king ever. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 21, and let's see what we'll find there, beginning at verse 1 of that chapter. Manasseh, so this would be Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. His mother was Hephzibah, He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the detestable practices of the pagan nations that the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. He rebuilt the pagan shrines his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He constructed altars for Baal and set up an Asherah pole, just as King Ahab of Israel had done. He also bowed before all the powers of the heavens and worshipped them. He built pagan altars in the temple of the Lord, the place where the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." He built these altars for all the powers of the heavens in both courtyards of the Lord's temple. Catch this. Manasseh also sacrificed his own son in the fire. He practiced sorcery and divination, and he consulted with mediums and psychics. He did much that was evil in the Lord's sight, arousing his anger. Manasseh even made a carved image of Asherah and set it up in the temple. In fact, if we skip down to verse 16 here in 2 Kings 21. Look at this, verse 16. Manasseh also murdered many innocent people until Jerusalem was filled from one end to the other with innocent blood. And this was in addition to the sin that he caused the people of Judah to commit, leading them to do evil in the Lord's sight. Wow, it just gets worse and worse. You know, this is Josiah's heritage and his lineage. The two worst kings in Judah's history, representing a combined 57 years of wicked, ungodly rulership. And this is what Jedidah, Josiah's mother, raises him in the midst of. You may be thinking, yeah, wait a minute, Pastor Bill, Scripture doesn't really say anything about Jedidah and how she influenced her son. Well, you're right, technically. Scripture only makes the point of mentioning her name, but then why do so at all? Why not leave us with the assumption Josiah must have had a mother, but if there's nothing noteworthy about her, why bother mentioning her at all? I think she was included as a contrast. Contrast to the other names attached to Josiah. I think she was included as the source material for this young boy whose personal character is so out of character for his family. I'm a firm believer that all seeds bear fruit. Everything parents, everything mothers do or don't do in their children's lives shows up in some way in their lives. There's a converse to that statement, though, which we sometimes take for granted. If all seeds bear fruit, then doesn't it stand to reason that all fruit comes from some seed? You simply cannot look at a young boy as exceptional as Josiah, being thrust onto the throne at 8 years old, coming from such a wickedly dysfunctional background, and coincidentally, he follows after the Lord and leads Judah in spiritual revival, you know, out of nowhere. His life and his reign is a shining example of good fruit. So what seed produced this fruit? I believe it was Jedidah, his mother. I believe this woman, swimming against an almost unimaginable stream of family and cultural opposition, she was the source of Josiah's seeds of faith and obedience to God. I can't even imagine all the opposition Jedidah faced. There are many women, mothers, who face similar oppositions. Maybe their husbands or their culture isn't quite so blatantly wicked as promoting child sacrifice, but still, there are many mothers trying to influence their children for God, and they're alone doing it. For myriad reasons, there are many mothers fighting an uphill battle, sometimes alone, not always by their choice. For whatever reason, they struggle to influence their children toward God and don't have a strong support around them. Those mothers who day in and day out pray over their children, week in, week out, get them involved in the church community, sometimes without the support of fathers, they're heroes. They're Jedidahs. The other day we were joking with one of our kids. We gladly raised you with a drug problem. We drug you to Sunday school, drug you to kids' church, we drug you to church, we drug you to youth group. I don't recall any mention of kids' church or youth group in the Old Testament. But if there were, Jedidah was apparently the type of mother who would have drug her kid there. I want to close out our study today with an encouragement to all our ladies who have a mothering role of any kind. You ready? Don't give up. Don't back off. Don't let up in your expectations for God's best in your family's lives. Pray and weep over them. Declare truth and hold them accountable to it. Lead by your example, even if you have limitations. Never underestimate the impact and the influence you have. Light will always dispel the darkness. Mothers, white knuckle that truth. Light will always dispel the darkness. So mothers, Jedidas, take hold of the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy. Claim them as your own legacy and as proof of what is possible. What am I referring to? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in the New Testament, Paul writes, 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning of verse 5, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. It's clear as can be. Paul blames Timothy's mother and grandmother for Timothy's faith. Now, no, just like any of us as parents or grandparents, we cannot force our kids to have faith, but we can stack the deck in their favor. So moms, let me say, as one who has pastored hundreds and hundreds of young people and adults over the course of the last 30 years, do not underestimate your influence. Do not give up. Do not give in. Yes, Josiah had to choose for himself. Yes, Timothy had to choose for himself. But both of them chose God as a direct result of their mother's influence. And I pray for you today. Father, I thank you so much for the mothers in our midst. Lord, especially those who, like Jedidah, find themselves swimming upstream, going against a culture, even if that culture is within their own household, their own family. Lord, I pray for courage. I pray for strength. I pray for perseverance. And Holy Spirit, whatever it takes, give these mothers a glimpse of the fruit that their efforts are producing. I pray that you do that. Open their eyes, even for just a moment, that they would see that all of their prayers, all of their conversations, it all matters. It all counts. And Lord, I do pray over our culture. The influences of the enemy trying to destroy the righteous role of mothers. Lord, we believe and we hold and we declare the light will always dispel the darkness. So though our hearts may be broken at what we see occurring in our culture, we do not fear it. We hold tight to the truth that a mother's heart is something you have created, Lord. So Holy Spirit, lead us forward. Encourage our mothers. Let them know exactly how important they are. In Jesus' name. Amen. On behalf of our Catalyst Church family, I want to thank you for taking the time to study with me today. Next week, we're going to take a look at a lady I believe is the most hated woman in the Bible. No, it's not Jezebel. She's too easy to hate. We're going to briefly study the one woman that most women wish weren't in Scripture at all, the Proverbs 31 woman. God bless you. We'll see you next time here on Wisdom's Walk. Have a great week in the Lord.